that they might receive. Forgiveness of sins, that they might receive inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith that's in me. He just wants you to receive. As many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. It's all about receiving. When in Acts chapter 8, when Philip went down to Samaria and preached and all the people repented of their sins and got baptized in water, and then they sent back to Jerusalem and said, hey, everybody that ain't received the word, received Jesus, and Peter and John came down there, and the Bible said, and they prayed for them. They didn't say, oh, Lord, give them the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord, we please pray. Oh, Lord, we pray for them. Oh, Lord, give them the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord, please give them the Holy Ghost. That ain't what they prayed. You know what they prayed? The Bible said, and they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. God had already gave the Holy Ghost. It's a matter of you receiving. If he could ever get us, and that's what he's doing, he's positioning us to receive if we would just listen to him. If we'll just listen to him, he's positioned us to a place where he can pour into us all that he wants to do for us. Because I'm going to tell you, God's got a big heart for everybody in here. And he wants everybody in here to be blessed. He wants everybody healed. He wants everybody to have more than enough. Right? So he don't want you to be disobedient, because that moves you out of a place of reception. You start receiving from the wrong source. Amen? Now go to John chapter 14. Amen? We need the Holy Spirit, and we have to stay full of the Holy Ghost. When you're full of the Holy Ghost and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you, then you have supernatural information. You have supernatural guidance. Supernatural words come out your mouth. Demonic powers are broken. Amen. When you're led by the Spirit, you start affecting people in the right way. Amen. Amen. You start loving people. You know, the fuller you get, then the more love you ought to have. Amen. You can't be getting closer to God and getting meaner and meaner.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. Why are you so mean now? I'm getting closer to God. I'm more devoted now. I'm more serious about my relationship to God. So you got meaner. So getting closer to God made you more meaner than what you are. You ever seen people like that? I'm just getting close to God. Now you can't even talk to them. Because they're so holy now because they're getting close to God that now you can't even talk to them. You can't even hold a conversation with them. Because now they think they're better than you, or that they're more holy than you, that they're more serious, they're more devoted, they're more committed. And see, that's that boastful, puffed up spirit. The more God you got in you, the easier it ought to be for you to get along. Because you got peace, you got the fruit of the Spirit. See, when you're full of the Holy Ghost, then the fruit of the Spirit is being generated all the time in you. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit is constantly renewing you in the fruit, that love, that joy, that peace, that long-suffering, that gentleness, that goodness, that kind. See, oh, no, that's bad. Oh, that's good. That ain't going to make you mean. Not going to make you nasty. It's not going to make you want to be isolated. The more God you got in, the more people you want to come in contact with. The less people you hide from when you're full of the Holy Ghost. Because another thing to go out your life is fear. Then you stop just being scared of stuff. Because the Holy Spirit is ordering your steps. So you learn how to trust it. You learn how to trust those leadings. And you know that you're going to be okay. Because, hey, the Holy Ghost told me to do this. When you start hearing his voice and he's teaching you things that he's hearing, he's revealing the Father's heart to you and what God desires for you to do, I'm going to tell you the greater and greater blessing that you're going to be.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada,
pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
The best of the old, the best of the new, the best variety in music.
Online anytime, 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
This day that we honor the Lord Jesus Christ, who did such, an awesome work on Calvary, was all about his mission when he said he came to seek and to save that which were lost. And my brothers and sisters, his death would mean nothing if those of us who had been lost had not seen, found, discovered him. And I want to use this word today as it comes from Luke chapter 15. Jesus deals with three lost things in this chapter. He deals with a lost sheep. He deals with a lost silver coin. And then he deals with a lost son. Now, we've heard more about the lost son in this chapter than we have the other two. And second runner-up is the lost sheep. But the Holy Ghost chose to draw attention to the lost coin. And I want you to see in Luke chapter 15, and I simply want to read verse 8. And it says, "Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it?" May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. I want to speak from the subject, lost in the house. Lost in the house. It's one thing to be lost out of the house, but it's a whole nother dimension to be lost in the house. One of the things that you will note as we look at our text today, the context, as I started off saying, shows us various examples. The interesting thing about the sheep is the sheep left. The interesting thing about the son is the son left. But the interesting thing about the silver is it was lost. The depiction here is the son, Jesus, is going after the lost sheep. In the illustration of the Father and the Son, it depicts God receiving the lost son. It's interesting because when you look at the word, and I want us to see this in the word, in verse 6, look at what this word says. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Read on down to the 24th verse now. That was the son talking about his lost sheep. But look at the father now saying, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Notice both of them says, my. But notice here, the woman does not refer to the coin as hers in a possessive way, but it. I want you to look at the word because there is a reason for it. The Father and the Son take ownership of us, but the Holy Ghost's job is not to own us, but to guide us, to guard us. He's given to us to deal with in the ways that the Father and the Son has said to deal with us. Notice here, because the Bible says again, verse 8, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, and if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? Now look at verse 9. And when she had found it, she calleth her friend and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Now, what's the point of that, Pastor? It is to emphasize this particular work is the dealing of the Holy Ghost with lost souls or souls that have been given to him to keep. And so remember again that his job and his purpose is to deal with us who belongs to the Father and to the Son. And so in that, the Father loved us and he created us, but we were lost. The Son went out and he saved us. And he says to the Holy Ghost, now keep them. He is the one who keeps us in safe keeping. Now, when we look at this, I want you to see some things, and I want you to write this down in your notes for your own understanding. To us, as was this coin was to the woman, we are precious to the Holy Ghost. Precious. We are loved by the Holy Ghost. We have a purpose and a function in the Holy Ghost. And we're going to look at this a little closely and examine this word, because first thing you need to know is because it was precious, it made the lost great. Because we are precious, it made the lost great. First of all, this was no rich woman. And so when we look at what she had and when we look at what she lost, it was quite significant because of the smallness of the amounts and being all that she had and recognizing its value, its worth, and its benefit, and the losing of just one was consequential to the ongoing of life as she knew it. One of the things that I want you to see is it had slipped out of her hands, because you know how when you have something and it's not much of it, you keep counting it like it's going to grow in your hand. Now, let me see. That was one, two. Count it front, count it back. It's all the same. And she got to counting one day. And one of the coins slipped out of her hand while she was taking inventory of her coins. Now, listen to this, because this is important. When it slipped out of her hand, she no longer had control over it. Now, keep in mind, we're dealing with the Holy Ghost. We're dealing with our souls. When we slip out of the hand of the Holy Ghost, he no longer has control over us. Now, that's important to recognize, because a whole lot of us don't understand that the only way that we can be controlled by the Holy Ghost is to be in the Holy Ghost or in the hand of the Holy Ghost, as this coin is represented here. And so while you may be saved, you are in the house. Everybody who's born again is saved, but not necessarily filled for the purpose of which one was created. So that means you can be here, born again, saved in the house of God, but yet be lost. Because you're not functioning, nor are you flowing in the hand of the Spirit of God.
Yes, sir.
So listen to this. I want you to see something else. It was lost, but what is interesting is it was lost in the house.
Right.
Lost in the house, a familiar place. Lost in the house. The woman counted the coins in the security of her own home. The woman counted the cost of what she, the coins in her hand in her own house, in the privacy of her own place. She counted up all of the silver again and again in the house. And when one slipped out of her hands, going from one hand to the next hand, it was lost in the house. But I want to share something else with you. Because it was in the house, it was still lost to its usefulness. Because you can be in the house and still not be in the hand, and so therefore you can't be useful. Let me say it this way. Just because you're sitting here in church don't mean you're doing church no good. You got a whole lot of folk who come to church as they've come and leave as they came. Just because you're in the church, in the house, don't mean that you're doing what you are here to do. So when it was lost, and then lost in the house, and then lost to its usefulness, it made the loss even greater. A whole lot of us don't understand that when we are lost to the usefulness of what God called us to be, it's like salt without savor. It's like a light so dim that it doesn't pierce the dark. It literally means that you may be in your place, but you're not doing what you are purposed to do, and therefore you are useless. Useless. You see, when you come and you get instructions and you don't utilize through the Holy Ghost the instructions you've gotten, you're coming to this church or any other church and not practicing what you hear makes you useless. Because what you've got to realize is that you begin your usefulness in the house. If you can't praise in the house, what makes you think you're going to praise out the house? If you can't lift him up in the house, what makes you think you're going to lift him up out of the house? If you can't give him glory in the house for which you were created, then what makes you think you're going to give him glory? If you can't be a witness in the house, what makes you think you're going to be a witness when you get outside of the house? When you lose yourself even in the house and lose your usefulness, and it literally means that you cannot do that for which you were created to do. Lose your usefulness. But I want you to see something else. It was lost in the house, but it wasn't just lost in the house. It was lost in the dust and darkness. You say, well, preacher, I don't see that in the text. Well, let's read the text again. The Bible says, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle. What you light a candle for if it ain't dark? And sweep the house. Listen, now I want to share with you. You might think you're sweeping just to see if she can reach under bed or so forth, but I got news for you. When you sweep, you gather up the dust that's already there. And in the cleaning up, let me help you understand something about the importance of what this woman does immediately. She lights a candle so she can see better. First of all. Secondly, she gets the broom so she can sweep and reach places and move things around that extends her hand so as to move the lost coin into sight so it can be retrieved, picked back up, put back in the hand, counted, and put back up again. want to share this with you because here's what you don't understand. The longer something is lost, dust begins to settle on it. If it's dim in the house, the light or the lack of light causes one to see shadows over or not see clearly the clarity of the silver. In other words, dust makes the shine of the coin lessened. In other words, if the coin was lost, and clearly if she's counting it, it's silvery, it's shiny because she's rubbed off all the dust and draws off. So as the dross and all of that is gone off, the coin shines. But if it sits too long, dust covers it.
Right.
And dust covers the shine. And so if dust covers the shine, she needs light to penetrate so she can see in those places that are not clear. Well, let me help you understand this. The Holy Ghost has to right in the house look for some of us who have rolled into places where it's dark at. And you hide behind people because you don't want to be seen and discovered. You don't want to lift up holy hands. He's got to look for you. He's got to let the bright glory, the Shekinah glory, come into place so that everything is lit up in there so that you can be seen and identified as a silver worthy coin and not operate as if you are worthy. Because when you were created, you were created worthy. Now, just because the coin was lost didn't mean the worth of the coin had diminished. It was still worth something. Tell somebody, I'm still worth something. In the house, lost or not. Because sometimes you sit next to those folk who are not lost and they act like you are lost and like they are everything and you are nothing. You need to tell them again, I'm worth something in the house of the Lord. It amazes me in this parable how Jesus depicts this lost coin and how he depicts the Holy Ghost in this woman searching for it and sweeping for it, which means she is sweeping not only what she sees, but underneath and around places she cannot reach. There are places we hide where from normal reach, the Holy Ghost does not reach us because we don't want to be reached.
Yeah.
And he has to employ means that he's been given to reach us. And sometimes it's through conviction.
Yes.
And sometimes it's through consciousness.
That's right.
And sometimes it's through cleansing us.
Yes.
And sometimes it's through changing us.
Yes.
And sometimes it's through correcting us. And on and on and on and on does he do what he does so he can reach us. Because he knows the longer we stay lost, the worse we become. The more comfortable we become in our lostness. That's why it amazes me how folk can get up every Sunday morning, put on their clothes, come to the house of God, sit here, hear what God has to say, or pretend like they're not hearing it. Especially when conviction comes with the message. And leave out of these doors with the information designed to arm them against the devil, and yet act as if they've heard nothing. And they go out and they experience situations during that week with the information to be overcomers and victors. But they do not employ what they have heard. And they do not heed what they have learned. And so it's the same old, Sunday in, Sunday out, day in, day out. Victory escapes them and defeat overcomes them. And they all understand that's not the way of God. Each Sunday morning, the Holy Ghost is trying to reach many of us who take our seats and go through the motions. He's trying to say, you are worth more than that. You have a purpose. You are worthy, and your worth can never, ever be fully utilized until you are used for the purpose of your design. What a wonderful illustration we had right there in our midst. Young lady with a beautiful voice. Many others around her may have heard her sing with the family of God in song praise. but she has a gift. And while she can give God in the corporate setting, God gave her a gift for a personal ministry to him. And it's not to say that it's not being used, but what it is saying is that all of us have gifts that God wants us to use to be a blessing to him and to the body.
Yes, sir.
Singing isn't everybody's gift. But I promise you, you have a gift. You may not know what your gift is because you have not operated in your gift. You have not recognized your gift. You have not utilized your gift, but you have a gift. And some of us are multi-gifted, more than just one gift. But listen, God gets no glory and man gets no good with you sitting on your gift, with you hiding your gift, with you not using and utilizing your gift. I want you to see this as I come to a close. This darkness and this dust.
All right.
She lights a candle. Okay. And the purpose of that is to say and to help you understand that the Holy Ghost sees you.
Yes.
You can hide from me, you can hide from other folk, but you cannot hide from the Holy Ghost. He will illuminate you and your situation until you are discovered and brought back to the place you ought to be. The Holy Ghost, listen at this, and this is so important, will not stop seeking you until you return to the place God wants you to be. And if you don't understand, you will never, ever escape the all-seeing eye of God. God is everywhere. He sees everything. He knows everything. And what he's doing is illuminating your situation, not so he can see you, but so you can see him. When he illuminates your situation, it's so that he can tell you, I know you better than you know yourself. When I speak to somebody who doesn't know your situation like I know it and like you know it, it's so that you can know that I know what you're dealing with, what you're going through, where you are, what you're thinking, how you're acting, how you're responding, and how you ought to be. It is the illumination that brings you to the revelation that God sees me and he knows what I'm doing. And he knows what I'm not doing. And I can pretend and play like I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. But the Holy Ghost, who has a convicting ministry, makes it clear that I'm just taking place and space up on a pew and not really doing what I've been purposed to do. Lost in the house, dressed and going nowhere. Looking good, smelling good, but you are not good in the sight of God.
Yeah.
How many of you have ever lost something in the house? Well, thank God for just a few who's lost something in the house. Let me ask that question again. How many of you have ever lost anything in the house? Do you know what is most nerve-wracking, nitpicking, and constantly grievous to you? Is to know it's in the house. And you can't put your fingers on it. At least if you lost it somewhere, you can say, maybe I lost it at the grocery store. Maybe I lost it here. Maybe I lost it there. But you knew it slipped out of your hands in the house. It ain't no sense in you looking outside the house. Because where you lost it at is still in the house. Now listen to this. It means now that it has to take time from your schedule. And listen, what makes it also more grievous is the timing of your loss. Don't lose it when you're going out to use it. I wish I had a helper in the house. She was counting it. Was she counting it because she was going to spend it? Doesn't matter. It was hers. She knew the value. And it was for a purpose. I tell people all the time, money is good for nothing but to be. Hallelujah to the Lamb. That's the purpose of money, is just to be spent. People who don't understand the purpose of money, I'd like to sit down and talk to you. It's not just to be counted. It's not just to be looked at. It's not to just be tucked away.